Billy Birmingham, thanks for joining us.
Always nice to talk to you, young Kevin. We go back further than my hairline, and that's a long way. And in fact, your name does appear in the new album cover, because, as you know, I'm signing off as the 12th man. I'm not going to make any more records, but I have put together the very best of Richie, as I thought an appropriate way to say farewell. And I do mention in the cover notes that way back in 1984, what started out as just a bit of a joke and a 10-minute sketch ended up becoming a 30-year career. And the first time I got any feedback from Richie was when you, Kevin Hillier, got him on the phone, sent him a record on the Friday, and rang me and said, "I've sent Richie a copy of the record, and I'm talking to him on Monday." And I was very, very nervous, Kev, but as you will recall, he came out and said some very nice things. He said to you, "Whereas my wife and I have been listening to it in the flat all weekend, and she said, gee, he's done a good job. He's got you down to a T." And he also said that he was heading off to England the next day, and he'd packed a couple of copies in his bag and had some friends over there. He would be rolling about the floor laughing, Kev. Can you believe that was bloody 1984?
Yeah, I can, because I actually went to my shed this morning and found a copy of the Duke magazine where they did the transcription of the very first interview I did with you.
Is that right?
I honestly didn't know I had it. I was fossicking through some stuff, and there it was, June 23, 1984. And
it's got Duke magazine. Oh, I hope it still had that. You know, you used to get black all over your hands from reading Duke magazine. It was unbelievable. It was like Ram magazine, Duke magazine, all those rock magazines. When you finish reading it, your hands are completely covered in black ink. But so that must have been... You must have had me on after you'd spoken to Richie, was it?
I think I spoke to you first.
And then gave me the good news that you'd sent a copy to Richie. And then I'm crapping myself all weekend waiting to hear what he's got to say on Monday.
Yes, I think you were thinking more about Supreme Court than you were about anything else.
Yes, that's right. Welcome back to the Supreme Court, where it really has been a pleasure to take this young bastard for every cent he's got. thankfully, that didn't happen, Kev. But, so your name has been mentioned in dispatches.
Thank you.
When I was writing the liner notes for the album cover.
What were you doing? You're working for a record company, or were you working in a creative area before you did this?
84. Well, 75 I started at EMI, and right. I was a national, and I was a New South Wales promo director. And so I was taking John Paul Young around in his sailor suit for interviews and taking Shorrock and the LRB boys around and Angus and Bon and the ACDC boys. And so I was doing that, you know, just Mr. Promo guy. And then I actually, by the time I did the record, I had my own little creative consultancy, Kev, called Billy Birmingham and Associates.
Right.
And I was just a consultant to the music industry, basically just a marketing consultant, whatever. I had a couple of good clients, EMI being one of them.
Yep.
And I was very much a behind-the-scenes person until I, you know, hooked up with Ostentatious, quite by accident, just some mutual friends threw us together, and he wanted to do something in comedy, Kev, and I hadn't done anything in comedy apart from being, you know, stupid at parties, quote unquote. I wrote Australiana for him, and that was a big hit, and then I decided to, you know, have a crack at my lounge room impersonations of Richie and see if I could turn it into a record. And the first one, It's Just Not Cricket, was. And remember, I naively thought, I'll keep my name off the album cover so no one can find me?
Yeah.
And you worked out who it was. So
well, I worked it out, and I was thinking about that today. I reckon when Austin had Australiana, and it was massive, we did a, I think on 3XY at the time, we did a one-hour show with Austin.
That would have been hellish.
Well, actually, it was a pre-recorded package thing, and
I
remember liaising with you and with Michael Matthews and all the team at EMI to get it all together, and there was a line in that radio special that you used again in the record when you bought It's Just Not Cricket out, and I married the two together, and that's how I worked out there was you that was the 12th man.
What was it? Do you remember the line?
No, I don't. I was trying to think today.
Right, but there was some line in Australiana and you
Well, there was a line
similar.
In the radio special.
Oh, okay. Yes. Right, gotcha.
Because it was done as a sort of co-host, a one-hour co-host with me and Austin.
Right, there you go. Well, listen, I'm shuddering just thinking about that.
I'm having flashbacks too, don't worry.
So, well, I was managing him at the time or mismanaging him or trying to manage him.
Yeah.
So, obviously, there was a Billy Birmingham-ism that it made its way into the radio special.
Yep.
And so you put two and two together and come up with 12.
Yes, exactly.
I still can't believe. And going through the sort of, 30 years of material, trying to work out what fits into the category of Best of Richie,
yep.
It was just really weird listening back to it, hearing that transition from, I started off in Richie's natural habitat, which is the Combox.
Yep.
And everything was, welcome back to the MCG or the Gabba or the Wacker, and a marvellous atmosphere here at the ground, and, and then ridiculous scores, everyone scored a century and there's 500,000 people at the MCG and everything was just sort of overblown. But it was all in the commentary box. And then as the years went by, I started to go into the private lives, in inverted commas, and made up, completely made up this home life for Richie. You remember his... the one that he's at home, with his wife, and everything in the Benno household was commentary speak.
Yes.
Welcome back to the kitchen, love. Thanks, Pat. Marvellous to be joining you in the kitchen for the first time today. And I found out about Bill's pigeons, and I made big play about them.
Yep.
I found out that Bill was a pigeon fancier, which is such a dodgy-sounding word, isn't it, a pigeon fancier? It sounds like he deals with them inappropriately. I had Tony Greig's bloody Lion insurance ads were sort of, along in the background.
That's right.
So I just, made up all of this absolute, I called it complete crap based on a true story.
you managed to string that out for 30 years. It's gone on for...
I know.
In your wildest dreams, you couldn't have imagined it, that you would be talking to me now 31 years later and we're talking about another CD.
Yeah, well, this is definitely going to be the last one. Richie's passing, untimely passing early this year, was the end of an era, which is an understatement. And I've had a very good run with the 12th man stuff, and I just figured that now is an appropriate time to hang up the microphone. And I just thought, a double album of tidbits of my favourite Richie bits, because as you know, Kev, my records are like little radio plays, where there's a vaguely feasible story that's got a beginning and a middle and an end. But this is just a different way of listening to the 12th man. It's just, little sketches. And as usual, I think it'll provide entertainment for those long car journeys, because I have been very popular in cars, that's probably so that, you can be away from the delicate ears of women and children.
Yes, that does help. And that was the one thing that Richie probably was uncomfortable with a little bit was the amount of swearing.
Yes. He didn't like working blue. And he wasn't keen on working blue, but that was one of my immediate ideas when I was decided to do, the 12th man thing. It was like I wanted Richie and the other commentators to just be calling the game and throwing in F-bombs and throwing in swear words as if it was just the most normal, most natural thing to do, as if every commentator spoke like that,
Yep.
And it just made it sound ridiculous with, Richie, who always projected a pretty, white knight sort of image. All of a sudden, there he is right in the middle of his commentary, just, throwing in expletives everywhere as if it was just a very normal thing to do.
Yep.
And that was just... And then, of course, you know, I just picked up all those other idiosyncrasies of Richie, like, you know, the marvellous effort, that, super shot, that, you know, putting that at the end of all of his phrases. And marvellous was the, you know, adjective of choice. And when I pointed that out to him on the, you know, early records that he said marvellous, he tried desperately to ditch the word, I think. But I think that glorious got a run there for a while, glorious stroke.
You know, the amazing thing about it for me, Billy, has always been that Richie is, in terms of as a commentator, he's a minimalist.
Yes, he loves understatement.
Absolutely, and you managed to somehow turn him into this person who doesn't sound like a minimalist, but he still was right till the very end of his commentary.
Yeah, well, I had I think when I had him in the commentary box, he didn't get too excited. I mean, the most excited I ever had Richie in the commentary box was, "I want a catch." What a catch! And that was about as excited as Richie got. You know, because you had Bill Laurie next to him where, you know, gone, got him, yes, oh, no, gee, just missed, you know. And so Bill used to scream out that it was a wicket, I think in a desperate hope that it was a wicket.
Yeah.
And he'd always, you know, nearly pop an O-ring every time something happened, whereas Richie was more that sort of laid back and just let the crowd roar, tell the story. And then he'd come in after the crowd roar subsides and says, "Well, that was a marvellous piece of bowling, the leg cutter." And so he used to like letting the crowd tell the story first. But in contrast to that, Kev, when I went into Richie's private life where he's having a meeting with the commentary team and he ruled with an iron fist.
Yes.
And he ran that thing like a buddy schoolmaster. And he'd do the roll call. And, so he certainly raised his voice and showed a different side of himself.
And I think that one of my favourite lines of all time that everybody repeats ad nauseum is, you know, "Let's work as a team."
Do it my way.
Yes, exactly.
We work as a team. Do you remember the old adage here, please, Bill? We work as a team and we do it my way. And but all these things that... all these things that over the years people have just sort of come to assume were always right. Like, you know, I made up this absolute crap about the commentary team selection committee.
Yeah.
You know, as if there was a bunch of guys sitting around deciding, you know, who was going to be going first in the commentary and whatever. And Richie's jacket and the 2 for 22 was odd because when Richie passed away, newspapers all over Australia and indeed all over the UK made reference to... Benno's famous 2 for 22. I'm thinking, you know, Benno didn't go around saying 2 for 22. He only said that when it was the bloody score.
Yes, so, that was a Birmingham.
That was a Birminghamism or 12th manism, as I like to call them.
Yep.
But just, you know, the cream, the band, the white, the off-white, the ivy and the beige and, you know, all of those things that just became... you know, sort of part of the lexicon. People would sort of hurl those things across the road at me from moving cars.
I'm sure they do. Mate, it's been an amazing 30-plus year journey. You brought so much joy to so many people and so many laughs to so many people. It's been fantastic to have watched it along the way and been a little tiny weeny part of it along the way as well.
Well, it was a big part, Kev, because, you know, when you're kicking off something like that, and as I said, it was just a 10-minute sketch, bit of fun, you know, put it on a record, but... you know, just what sort of steamrolled after you know, you spoke to Richie within 48 hours of the thing coming out. And then next minute I kind of had his tick of approval, if you like, saying it was very funny. And his wife said I had him down to a T and whatever. And it's, look, it's been a great joy to get the feedback from the fans about just how much they've enjoyed the ride.
Because
a lot of them literally have been on the ride with me for 30 years. They were... 14, 15, 16, 17 back in 1984, and now they're all grown up and got a couple of kids, and they have followed me the whole way and enjoyed my stuff, which is great.
I think we all have, Billy. It's been a pleasure, mate. Always great to catch up with you. Best of luck with this, and enjoy your retirement.
Thanks, mate. I can't retire from work. I'll have to go and get a real job now and do something. But thank you very much, Kev. Lovely to talk to you, mate.
Good on you, Billy. Billy Birmingham joining us.